This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
This is Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Dean Siracusa. He is the communications director for the Black Rock Municipal Airport, which has an FAA designation of 88 November Victor. Now, Dean, tell us what's unusual about this airport and what you're about to do this weekend.
Well, the Black Rock Municipal Airport is part of Burning Man. The Burning Man event on the Black Rock Dry Lake Bed occurs each Labor Day weekend for the past 20 years, and it is a week-long event of a we create a city of a very, very large city each year on the Black Rock Dry Lake Bed, and we even have an airport. We've had an airport out there in various degrees since 1999, and it's grown each year. Last year we had quite a number of airplanes. We have had up to 200 aircraft based at the airport. When I say based, the airport only exists for this event for 1 week, but there are a lot of people that come out to the event and spend with their airplane out there.
Okay, but it is an officially designated FAA airport with all the usual procedures, from what I understand.
Yes, it's unusual in that regard too, because while it is an FAA registered airport, it's listed as a private use on public lands airport. Normally with a private airport, you have to get permission to use the airport. We do grant permission to people that are attending the event, and they must abide by our rules and requirements, which are not that long. But we have to abide by not only the FAA, obviously, but the event is located on Bureau of Land Management land, and we have to make sure that they're happy as well as the Burning Man organization. And so we have an advisory that we put out. It's available at portofentry.org. And any aviator that's considering flying out there would be smart to have a look at the advisory and the information about arriving and flying around the event safely.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about what goes into creating an airport that only exists for a week, and what pilots can expect when they get there.
Absolutely. It's we have a terminal building. We have a control tower, or as we like to call it, the out-of-control tower. It's a non-towered airport, but we do have a UNICOM. We have a UNICOM frequency, 122.9. We have a UNICOM operator who is usually a pilot. It's actually managed and also manned sometimes by air traffic controllers who are off duty, volunteers being UNICOM operators, and assisting aviators when they arrive. We have a pilot's lounge. We have a customs office. And ticketing office. The airport, the event itself for the first time is sold out. Unfortunately, this is the first year, well, fortunately or unfortunately, it's the first year that it's been sold out prior to the event even launching. So if you're interested in coming and you don't have a ticket, they are available, you know, in various places like eBay, but you have to be careful with that. But the airport itself is, we create a It is a dirt runway. It's on the Black Rock Dry Lake Bed, which is, 50 miles long, 15 miles wide at the widest. It's where they do land speed record runs. The land breaking the sound barrier on land was broken there a number of years ago. So it is usually a very, very smooth, very hard surface. Some years it's been softer than others. This year it's actually very, very nice. But we actually prepare a section of it for the runway that's a mile long, 5,280 feet long by 60 feet wide. We have markers for approach at each approach end of the runway, and markers on each side that we prepare and make sure it's as smooth and nice as possible. We set up locations for tie downs, so it's fairly well organized. We have charter operators that fly out to drop off passengers on a daily basis during the event, and we have a number of volunteers who help obviously put the runway together and the terminal building and all these other buildings that only exist literally for a week a year, and we take it down and not long after the event is over, you can drive out onto the dry lake bed and there's nothing there. It's a pretty amazing thing.
Let's assume that I have a ticket, but I've never flown to Black Rock before. Tell me what I need to know and what I should expect when I get there.
Yep, absolutely. It's very simple. The best thing to do is to go to portofentry.org and download the advisory information, as well as we create charts of the location, including the runway and an airport diagram that shows where the runway is, gives the coordinates of the event. If you have a current GPS, the information is current on it. It may very well have 8-8 November Victor in the database, and you can fly GPS direct to it. It's in a very, very remote part of the world, so remote that there's no radar coverage below 8,000 feet. So if you're coming from, say, Reno, once you're about 20 miles north of Reno, Reno departure and Oakland Center is just going to basically say, you know, you're on your own if you're getting flight following. You'll have to be well above 8,000 feet to get anything, any coverage at all. But it's the middle of nowhere, but we have the event itself is huge. It's 12 square miles. It's hard to miss when you're out on the Black Rock Dry Lake Bed. As you arrive, you would call up the Unicom and ask for advisories. They'll usually give you the current winds and the weather information, and it's a standard pattern for one of the runways. The runway 4, I believe it's left traffic, and runway 22, it's right traffic. I think I have to look at my charts myself. Because the event is so large, we don't want people flying directly over it for their landing pattern. And we actually have something unusual. We have a scenic pattern, we call it. For people that want to see the event from the air, there are so many aircraft in the air on some days during the event that we've set up a recommended scenic pattern, and that is clockwise around the event. At or above 1,500 feet AGL, and that keeps them out of the way of the scenic pattern, or the landing pattern and departure pattern, and it makes sure everybody's going the same direction, so there's no issues with that.
Now you better be ready for some wind and some weather, though, right?
Yes, absolutely. The winds out there we've seen 70 knot winds. The weather, it's the remote high desert, northwest high desert, and we've seen thunderstorms come out of nowhere. Not out of nowhere, but they do come up in the afternoon on a typical late summer afternoon. They do come up. We have dust storms. The playa, the surface is not sandy, so when you are parked out there, you don't have to be worried that your aircraft is your brand new Cirrus or whatever is going to get sandblasted. That's paint off. It's a very fine alkaline powder that couldn't sandblast anything. I've had several different airplanes out there over the years, and I've never had a problem myself. But be prepared if you arrive that if there is a dust storm going on, there's no instrument approaches to this non-towered airport. So be patient. If it looks like the dust storm is going to clear soon, I'd orbit around the event a while and wait for it to clear. If it doesn't look like it's going to clear anytime soon, Winnemucca Airport is relatively nearby, and Reno's not far away either.
Okay, so what kind of aircraft do you get there? What do you fly there? What are you flying there this year?
I have an airplane that most people have never heard of. I own a rare, it's a 1966 Myers 200D. It's a certified production airplane built in the 60s, 50s and 60s.
Look a little bit like a Navion, don't they?
Little like a Navion, yeah. Smaller, a lot faster. I cruise 180 knots on an IO-520 engine. They made 120 of them back in the 60s. Aero Commander bought the line and built them for 2 years. And they built a lot of them and realized that they were
sounds like a Burning Man airplane.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, but we've had every year we get everything from little Cessna 150s, a number of experimentals, up to obviously Cessna 210s, up to twins and lots of King Airs, lots of Pilatus PC-12s, and TBM 700s and 850s, and occasionally a jet or two will come out to the airport. It's a long runway. The elevation is 3,900 feet above sea level. The runway is a mile long, and there are no obstacles on each end. So, if you can get into ground effect within a mile, you can land and depart there. It's quite a nice place to actually land and arrive. We've had very unusual aircraft out there. A few years ago, a Sikorsky S-39 flew out. The old twin-engine amphibious seaplane from the 20s.
Right.
That was a lot of fun to see that. But we get a lot of we have Antonov AN-2 that comes out every now and then that parks there. So Cessna Caravans, just about every kind of airplane you can imagine.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating event and a fascinating place to fly. Appreciate your time today, Dean. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.